Matt D'Arazio, a big drive there at the end of the half for Steubenville on a fourth down play that looked to be dead in the water. It ended up being a two-yard TD run for the backup quarterback, Johnny Agresta, and now Steubenville is within one score and set to get the football.
Yeah, and a very aggressive call by Reno Sakoch and executed perfectly, I guess, as they go in and get the touchdown and something they needed. You know, they didn't play a great half of football, is the Big Red, but they found a way to hang around, and you figure they would because they've been in this situation before.
This broadcast is a presentation of the Ohio High School Athletic Association Radio Network. Any commercial use, retransmission, or distribution without the express written consent of the OHSAA is strictly prohibited. The announcers and production staff for this game were selected by the Ohio High School Athletic Association. For more information, log on to the OHSAA Radio Network at www.ohsaa.org. Third of seven championship games on this first weekend in December at the Horseshoe. Last night, Cincinnati LaSalle became the first ever school to three-peat in Division II, beating Massillon Perry in a rematch from a year ago. Earlier today, Marion Local over Cuyahoga Heights as the Flyers return as champions. Last year, Marion Local had a halftime lead, saw it get away, and they lost to Kirtland. But this year, the Flyers would not be denied. And now in this game, Division IV, again a rematch. Last year, Hartley, 31-28, beat Steubenville on a 40-yard field goal with a little less than 5 minutes to play. They have a 21-14 lead in this meeting, but Steubenville's about to get the football as we begin the second half. And Matt, as you look at these two teams as they get ready to line up and kick it off, first of all, if you're Steubenville and you're Reno Sakoch and his coaching staff, what were you saying to your team about trying to continue this rally?
Well, what they got to do is they've really got to eliminate some big penalties they had, you know, and they also have to hold on to the football. There were some quarterback center exchanges that were an issue in the first half. They did not play a clean half of football. The good news for them is they're only down 7 points. Certainly you can say, hey, guys, we can move the ball on these guys. We can run the ball. They proved they can do that with Jalen McGee. They just got to come out and do it for a half. And on the other side of the ball, you know, Hartley up 7 points, feeling strong about how they're competing right now, and they've got to find a way to hold on.
Set to kick it away for Hartley will be Matteo Agresti. The ball down at the 40-yard line. Two return men for the Big Red. DeJuan Jones is stationed to the near side, and he is walking around near his own 12. That's where the kick will head, but it's short. Jones won't get it. It'll be one of the upmen. It'll be Abe Zane, who takes off near the numbers at the 40 and then runs past a man near midfield. He'll be taken down in Hartley territory at the 44-yard line. Jaden Manley is able to make the stop, but Abe Zane decides instead of calling for a fair catch like he did earlier, he's going to run, and boy, did he run. Steubenville gets the short field.
Scott, both teams have been doing the same thing on kickoff, and it's been directional short kick because they're afraid of the long return, and everybody's been fair catching it. Right there, Zane finally does, and as you mentioned, I think everybody kind of hit the brakes thinking it was going to happen, and Zane had a huge hole there.
So here come the Big Red, and they will line up with three receivers, two to the right. It's Agresti, the backup quarterback, who will keep it to the left side in the middle of the field near the Scarlet Block O. He'll be stopped at the 46. No gain for Johnny Agresti. He had the TD run at the end of the second quarter, and he's in the game here at the beginning of the second half.
Yeah, we saw a quarterback change last night with LaSalle. You wonder, maybe another spark to get aggressive in here as well.
Javon Davis, though, sprints in from the far side, and now he'll take this snap. He's in that pistol formation with a back behind him. Takes the snap, looks left. Now he's going to take off running around the right end. Turns on the jets at the 40, gets to the 30. Outside the right hash mark, he'll be tackled at the 27, but it's a 19-yard run for Javon Davis. So the quarterback shuffle here for Reno Sakoch with his starter back in, a big gainer. And it's a 19-yard run that sets up Steubenville from the 27.
And the first design run of the game for Davis, and does a good job accelerating through the hole. And he's got some speed and some quickness. You wonder why they don't use him quite as much as they do with Agresta. But, you know, it's 1-2 punch here as they're rotating the quarterbacks.
And Davis, again, set to take it. Here's the snap. Looks up the right side. Fires down the field, and it's broken up in the end zone. Going just across the goal line, Cheyenne Pettaway got a hand on that football, but he was covered well. Man-on-man coverage working against Elijah Carter, the 6-foot-tall, 170-pound junior corner. Not a bad throw by Davis, but again, excellent coverage in the Hartley secondary.
Yeah, Carter was in Pettaway's hip pocket there, played the ball perfectly. Ball was well thrown, but just a touch short. If he lays it out there, Pettaway may have a chance to accelerate and grab that ball, but... You know, you've got to take your hat off to the Hartley Hawks in the secondary. They're getting challenged to play man-to-man. They're doing a good job covering these receivers.
Second down and 10 from the 27. 10:41 to play, third quarter. Hartley by a touchdown. Two receivers right, I formation. Davis calls it out. Long count here for Davis. Tight end set up to the right. Play action fake. Looking left. Into the flats. He'll throw it. Davis has his man. It's the fullback, Zane Zimish, who makes the catch and gets pulled down at the 19. But they will pick up close to 9 yards, getting the ball to Zimish, who escaped from the blockers in the middle of the field. And now Steubenville is going to play fast. They get to the line, they snap it, and hand it off to McGee behind the right tackle. He's going to have the first down, falling forward to the 15.
Scott, the Big Red have had a lot of success here with this hurry-up offense, so to speak. Whether it be two plays called in the huddle at once, they run the play, and they immediately get back up on the ball and run the play right again. Not much communication. It's a technique so far that's been working for the Big Red.
Zimish will be the fullback with McGee lined up behind him in the I set. Reeves, the receiver, by himself to the right. Two of them out to the left side. A four-man front for Hartley. And Davis is going to toss it to the right side. This is McGee, was grabbed near the shoulder pad at the 15, but runs away from that defender, and he will fight his way to the 11. So Jalen McGee fighting for some hard real estate on that play. He's going to total 4 yards, and it's going to bring up second and 6 from the Hartley 11. 9:35 to play, third quarter. Steubenville would tie it with a touchdown and a PAT.
And so far, it's worked out perfectly for them. Score right before the half, get a nice return, get field position, come down, moving the ball on the ground, also doing a little bit through the air. And I'll tell you what, this is exactly what Steubenville drew up at halftime.
Once again, eye backs. Davis calling it out. Motion man left to right. It's Alec Taylor. Five on the front for Hartley, trying to stop the run. They give it to McGee. Left side, gets a good push. He's got a first down or very close to it. Needed to get inside the 6. He's going to be marked at the 6. Just shy of a first down. But another good run by Jalen McGee, cutting back at the right moment. And he kind of got clipped by one of the Hartley defenders, but his momentum still gave him an extra yard or so. It'll be third down and less than 1. Triple I now as Steubenville lines up quickly with tight ends on each side. Davis with a long count here. And now we're going to hand it to the last running back through. It's McGee, and he is undercut and taken down for a loss. On third and a half a yard, they handed to McGee, and the Bishop Hartley front seven was ready for it. Alexander Blackman with a big hit coming right through the middle. And actually, Blackman was beaten to the punch by Thomas Casimir, the defensive end. So it's a loss of a couple. It'll be fourth and 3. Fourth and 3 from the 8-yard line. I backs. Steubenville will go for it. Davis takes the snap, pitches it to McGee running left, and he's not going to have the first down. A no-gain carry for McGee coming off the edge. And making the stop was, I believe, John Anderson. Actually, no, it was Patrick Gilliland, who we talked about earlier, who thought he had a tackle for a loss at the other end of the field at the 2-yard line. Here he does come up with a fourth down stop. And now Bishop Hartley takes over on downs with 7:54 to play in the third quarter.
Scott, how about that? Reno Sokoch does not even hesitate. He's going for him fourth down. Could have got 3 right there. Was definitely within field goal range. Rolled the dice once again. and the Hartley Hawks answer defensively. And although they gave up some yards and a lot of time came off the clock, the defense answers a call, gets the ball back for the offense. And honestly, if you're Hartley, you got to be excited. You've been here before and you've driven this ball the same amount of distance.
Three backs behind Jake Ruby, has the snap, hands it off, and muscling his way forward, taking some tacklers with him on this carry. Across the 10-yard line goes Marquette Dixon. He gets a nice push at the end of that run from a couple of offensive linemen. They'll put him down at the 13. That'll be a gain of 6 yards for the first-team All-Ohio back.
Scott, there's something special about him. As he's running through the hole, he almost side shuffles or turns his shoulder sideways to sneak through, and then he straightens him back up to get those extra yards.
Ruby under center on second down and 4. And he takes the snap. He's going to turn and hand it. This is Dixon running left side up the middle again, though. And he's got the first down right up the gut for close to 5 yards. Thomas Casimir, who just made a big tackle on defense, the first team All-Ohio left guard, helping to create a hole on this play. And Bishop Hartley moves the chains. They had a 98-yard touchdown drive for their first score of the game. We go under 7 minutes to play in the third quarter.
Scott, that's a huge first down for the Hartley Hawks, just to get a little breathing room, keep their confidence they can still run this ball.
Offset backs behind Ruby. H-back off to the left. A step off the line. They'll hand it off. First back through. This is the fullback, Nick Onega. And he's going to maybe get a yard. Nothing much doing on that first down play. And actually, it was Nick Cohn, the backup, who was in for Onega, the junior who was given the football on first down. Forward progress puts him near the 21, a gain of a yard, second and 9 from the right hash mark. 6:19 to play, 21-14, Hartley leading Steubenville. They'll toss it left side. This is Dixon, but he's tripped up in the backfield. He does fall forward to get back to the line of scrimmage, maybe a yard to the 22. But it was Jalen McGee, the other running back, who of course also plays defense, who was there to make sure Dixon went to the ground.
You can't say enough about this offensive line for the Hartley Hawks. They get out, and they get out in front. They've got some speed, and they're leading the way. In fact, right there, I think Dixon might have tripped over his own feet. Otherwise, he might have got a few more yards.
Third down and 7 from the 22-yard line. 4 receivers. They're tucked in, 2 on each side, though. Ruby's going to pitch it to the left at the 23. A little stutter step move for Onega, and then he is squared up and dropped at the 23-yard line. So a pickup of a couple for Onega. It'll be Petaway who brings him down. Cheyenne Petaway received the news this week that he's first-team All-Ohio at his cornerback position. Nice open-field tackle there. It'll be fourth down, 5 to go, and you would assume Hartley is punting, but since their quarterback also kicks, you never know. In this situation, Brad Birchfield would almost certainly kick it, but they've struggled in that department. They're going to fake it. A direct snap to Onega, going up the left sideline, first down at the 40, cuts it back at midfield. He's in Steubenville territory to the 30, to the 20, and he's wrestled down from behind at the 14. Brad Birchfield does roll the dice as his punting team has really struggled. Instead of kicking it, they direct snap it to the fullback, who already has a TD run today, and he rumbles for 62 yards.
Scott, you're on your own 24, coming out up 7 points, trying to repeat as state champions. You roll the dice, you get aggressive, and I think you're right. A lot of it had to do with the fact that the punting game for Hartley is suspect at best. The last punt Jake Ruby had was 5 yards. Why not go for it? A little wrinkle here and there, some creativity, and it's the biggest play of the game.
Bishop Hartley grabbing some momentum here late in the third quarter. They're inside the red zone. First and 10 from the Steubenville 14. Hartley leads by a touchdown. Hand off to Dixon up the middle. Has a couple of yards, and then he is clubbed and taken down to the carpet. It'll be a gain of 3. But Nywan Robinson squared him up and drove Dixon into the ground. Good news for Hartley. Marquette Dixon jumps up immediately and gets back to his teammates on the offensive side of the football, but a big hit applied after a gain of 3.
Yeah, and Dixon's lucky, as you mentioned, as he went through, broke the line of scrimmage, he left his feet. When you leave your feet, you kind of leave yourself vulnerable. He took a big hit there, but did pop right back up.
3:47 to go in the third. Second down and seven. Dixon will go in motion this time. He was lined up as the wingback. Ruby's rolling out, and he will be sacked. It was Marlon Lawrence, the junior from the defensive line, who was able to shed his blocker almost immediately and then jumped on Ruby like he was going for a piggyback ride. He takes the senior quarterback to the ground back at the 18.
Scott, that was dead from the beginning. It almost looked like the white shirts were in the backfield before the snap even happened. I don't even know how it's possible. But as you mentioned, Ruby had no chance at all. And Lawrence almost, I mean, obviously could have caused a bigger play than he did right there by stripping that ball from Ruby.
Third down and 14. On the right hash mark, Hartley with the football. Taking the snap, looking left. Ruby's going to throw, and it's intercepted. It is picked off, although it's taken back, apparently, by Manley. It was intended for Manley, and as the throw was being made, you could see that Steubenville's Alec Taylor had telegraphed the pass. He stepped in front, intercepted it, but then as he started to run up the field, Manley pulled it away from him.
Scott, here's a question. Is it a fresh set of downs? Was it a change of possession?
And that's what the Hartley coaches are saying. All of them are pointing to that end zone, saying first down because it's a change of possession, and I think they are right because as we watch the replay, Alec Taylor clearly intercepted that pass. Manley pulls it away, but here's the other question, Matt D'Orazio.
Yes.
Was Taylor already down? And as we look at the replay, very close,
yeah,
as to whether or not Taylor's knee was down, but a heads-up play by wide receiver Jaden Manley to get the football back. The officials are trying to decide if it's going to be a first down on a change of possession. It is. So it's an interception and then a fumble because it's stripped. And it'll be first down and 10 Hartley from the Steubenville 14. 2:47 to go in the third. The Hartley Hawks come up big on what could have been their second turnover of the day. Their offense, four new ones.
And, Scott, unfortunately, I've been in this situation too many times when you let go of a ball and you go, oh, no, because it's going to be a pick six. Ball was thrown, anything outbreaking, thrown late and behind. That's the feeling you got. And I'm sure Ruby had the same feeling right there. Manley, you had thought his biggest play of the game was that touchdown when he split the defenders. This may have trumped that.
Offset backs behind Ruby as he surveys the defense. Shifting back and forth, talking to his lineman, now starts the cadence. Takes the snap and hands off. And this is Nick Cohn. Not a lot of running room here. A flag comes in. Cohn will be dropped right near the line of scrimmage. First and 10 from the 14 is where it was set up. And the flag here is going to be against Hartley. So that'll back him up. Let's pause for station identification. 2:47 to play in the third. Hartley 21, Steubenville 14 here on the OHSAA Radio Network.
WVSG, Columbus, Ohio.
Jake Ruby just threw an interception, but his wide receiver stripped the defensive back and returned possession to the Hawks. First down and forever now, though. First and 25 from the 29. They're going to pitch it to the left side for Dixon. Short side of the field. Not a lot of running room, but he will get all the way to the 20 as he tiptoes his way down the sideline. So second and 16 up and coming for the Hawks, leading by a touchdown. Hartley last year traded punches with Steubenville in a very similar fashion. Each team had one turnover in that game. Hartley had a fumble. Steubenville had an interception. But it came down to Hartley's ability to move the chains, to shorten the game, and then eventually get into field goal range late and win it. Now they're trying to add to a one-touchdown lead. Receiver goes wide right. Ruby will hand it off, but the ball is loose. On the handoff exchange, it was fumbled. They were trying to give it to Dixon, coming back to the left side, and Steubenville recovers. The guy that pounced on the football for the Big Red is Quadre Williams, the sophomore. Dixon never had it in his hands. As we look at the replay, A bad exchange, another fumble for the defending state champions.
And once again, Scott, it goes back to fundamentals right there. It's just a draw play. It's a quarterback running back exchange. They've done it thousands of times. You've got to execute it. Right there, it looks like Ruby gets a little high. Dixon doesn't have a chance to gather the football, and you give one away.
So now Steubenville is in business again. Down a touchdown. Three receivers, two to the left. I formation behind Javon Davis. A long count again. The Big Red do this fairly frequently. No movement up front from Hartley. He'll take the snap. He rolls left. He's going to throw. It may have been deflected at the line of scrimmage. It's up for grabs and incomplete. Could have very easily been intercepted. That pass may have been tipped as Davis let it fly. It was a dying duck at the Hartley 45-yard line. And Manley, who was on coverage, almost picked it off. It goes right off of his hands as the wide receiver, Alec Taylor, became the defender there and pulled Manley away from the ball.
Yeah, Manley has been the man this game. I mean, on both sides of the football, making plays, and it seems like everything's kind of coming his direction one way or the other.
How about the game matchup between Taylor and Manley? Those guys going back and forth. Here is Davis rolling left, turning and throwing back to his right on a screen. It'll be caught, but immediately Jamal Petaway is taken down. He's dropped back at his own 17, and that'll be a loss of 7 yards. They tried to shuffle the defense to the left as Davis rolled out that way, but when he turned and threw it back to Petaway, the Hawks were not fooled.
Yeah, Kirkbride was the guy coming from the linebacker position, and he timed it up perfectly. Almost looked like he could have stepped in front and picked six right there on the 15-yard line, take it in, but does a great job making a play and really a tackle for a loss.
Four wides, two to each side. Only a three-man front for the Hawks. Now a linebacker creeps up, maybe a blitz coming. Taking the snap, Davis rolls left. Turns, plants his foot, fires it back to the right side. It's incomplete. Again, almost intercepted. Philip Cole for Hartley was ready to pick that pass off, but he slammed into his teammate Elijah Carter. Alec Taylor was the receiver back there, but that pass had no chance of getting to him. The only guy that had a chance to catch it was the defender, Cole.
Well, certainly Davis has a strong arm as he rolls out to his left, sets up and throws a deep post back to his right. Receiver gets a little too far away, underthrown, and once again, Hartley in the right position in the secondary to make plays, just haven't been able to snag one.
Fourth down coming up. It'll be fourth and 16 from Steubenville's own 17-yard line. The Big Red recovering a Hartley fumble a moment ago after Hartley had put themselves within scoring position. And so now the punt team is on for Steubenville, and back to kick it away is Mark Smith. And the first team All-Ohio kicker will boot it. This one's not pretty either. It'll bounce at the hash marks on the far side of the field. Takes a Steubenville roll. It'll be downed at the 47 in Steubenville territory. So Hartley with great field position with 57 seconds remaining in the third quarter. It's Bishop Hartley 21, Steubenville 14 after a 30-yard Mark Smith punt. Let's pause for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. You're listening to the Division IV State Championship game on the OHSAA Radio Network, brought to you by Chocolate Milk.
Chocolate Milk is the official beverage of the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Not only is it delicious, low-fat or fat-free chocolate milk is a great way to fuel up for any activity. Enjoying nutrient-rich foods like chocolate milk and staying active helps you perform your best on the field, on the court, on the track, or anywhere. Because it's packed with good stuff, few beverages are better to fuel up with than low-fat or fat-free chocolate milk. It tastes great and is packed with the same 9 essential nutrients as white milk. Visit drink-milk.com for the facts on chocolate milk.
Game of Thrones, live concert experience, featuring composer Ramin Djawadi, along with a live orchestra, choir, and state-of-the-art technology. Enter the world of Westeros with an immersive music and visual experience that will bring the Seven Kingdoms to life on a scale never seen before. February 22nd, Nationwide Arena. Tickets are on sale now online at livenation.com.
You're listening to the State Football Championships on the Ohio High School Athletic Association Radio Network.
21-14, Bishop Hartley in front of Steubenville. 57 seconds left to play in the third quarter here at Ohio Stadium in Columbus. Alongside Matt D'Orazio, I'm Scott Leo. Earlier today, Marion Local won the Division 6 title, 21-17 over Cuyahoga Heights. Last night, it was the Cincinnati LaSalle Lancers who beat Massillon Perry 14-7, a three-peat for LaSalle. Hartley's trying to win its second straight championship, and they're trying to, for the second year in a row, beat Steubenville in the final game. I formation, two receivers left. Ruby's going to turn, and this is a handoff to Dixon, running with a head of steam right down the middle of the field. He'll be hit and taken down at the 41, but a first down carry that's good for 8 yards for Marquette Dixon, who on the season went for 36 rushing touchdowns, racking up close to 2,500 yards.
That's it?
He's over 2,500 when you count today's effort.
Unbelievable. What a talent. But Coach Birchfield right there just going right up the middle, nothing fancy. And, you know, you tried a few things. You got the huge success in the fake punt. And then on that draw, there was a little bit of a wrinkle that, you know, obviously he didn't look comfortable. So getting back to the basics, it looks like, for Hartley.
Hartley will go I formation. It's a triple I, though, and the last back is Dixon. He gets the football behind the left guard. He'll push right up the gut and fight his way to the 38. The final play of the third quarter will be a run that's good for a first down. Marquette Dixon running behind the first-team All-Ohio left guard, Thomas Casimir. He and Nick Dawes on the left side of the line combined for 480 pounds, and they were pushing right up the middle of the field, allowing Dixon to have a little running room. We've got 12 minutes left to decide this football game. We go to the fourth quarter inside the horseshoe, and Bishop Hartley leads Steubenville 21-14 in the Division IV state championship. Let's pause for these messages from your local station. You are listening to the OHSAA Radio Network.
Because you and the sunrise have a lot in common, the hope of a new day and brighter tomorrows. And because you, like the sun, can light up the whole world too. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we offer the very best in patient-centered cancer care. Why we provide a special certified nurse navigator to guide and comfort you every step of the way. And why we hold dedicated cancer conferences led by top specialists to ensure the best treatment plan for each newly diagnosed patient. You are the reason we provide social workers and dietitians especially for cancer patients, and why we offer education, support groups, and survivorship programs during and after treatment to help you live your new life. Because with each new day, with every sunrise, some people just can't imagine the world without you in it. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
By the U.S. Department of Transportation.
We are set for the fourth quarter here in the Division IV Championship. 21-14, Columbus Bishop Hartley has the lead. They led 21-7 until late in the second quarter. And the backup quarterback, Johnny Agresta's two-yard run, pulled Steubenville within a touchdown. And now Matt D'Orazio, Steubenville's defense is trying to get a stop because they were unable to score at the other end just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, and they've definitely got to find a way to get a stop here and get the ball back. And Hartley's actually in a really good position with a good field position. And I'm honestly, if you told Coach Birchfield at the end of three quarters you'd be up 21-14 with the ball across midfield, I think he'd be pretty happy and psyched to say, hey, this is the way we wanted. We can finish this thing off. And I'm sure that was the message he gave to his guys just now.
Marquette Dixon, the first-team All-State tailback, 157 yards on 23 carries. And his counterpart, fullback Nick Onega, has 107 yards on just 5 carries. He had a 62-yarder earlier and a 38-yard touchdown run. For Steubenville, Jalen McGee has carried it 17 times for 99 yards and a score. And on first down and 10 from the Steubenville 37, offset eye behind Ruby. Has it, turns, pitches to Dixon. He's going to be hit by McGee, stood up near the line of scrimmage, And they will fight for yardage. Will the Hartley offensive players, the linemen, trying to push Dixon forward. They do to the 35. A pickup of a couple. Second down and 8 coming, and it runs Dixon's total for the day to 159.
And key for him and key for Ruby and for this whole Hartley offense is to talk about ball security, to think about it, keep it top of mind, not give the ball away at this point. Continue to run hard and run with a purpose, but hold on to that football.
The next yard gained by Hartley will give them 300 yards of offense for the game compared to 159 for Steubenville. Here comes a counter, and Dixon got it and then was hit. He was hit and dropped by Quentin Moore. Also, Marlon Lawrence getting a piece of him. The two interior defensive linemen, the two tackles, there to hit Marquette Dixon and take him off his feet for a loss of 2. So they're right back to where they started a moment ago. Third down and 10 from the 37. 10:52 left to play in the game.
That was a big hit that Dixon took there. As you mentioned, Lawrence was right there to make the big hit. And Moore came along with it, and I was talking about ball security right there. It was just a good job holding on to the football.
Heading towards the south end zone, the open end of the horseshoe, third and 10. Ruby takes the snap and pitches to Dixon on the right, makes a man miss with a stutter step at the 40, gets to the 35. He'll pick up a couple of yards, but Quentin Moore grabs him around the legs, and coming over to help on the stop is Johnny Agresta. Forward progress puts him just inside the 35, so we'll call it fourth down and 7. 10:13 to play. Brad Birchfield leaving his offense on the field. Hartley is 2 for 2 on fourth downs today. Coach Birchfield on the near sideline with his hands up on his head, looking at a play sheet and then shouting some instructions out towards his offense. Ruby's going to be in the shotgun here. Two receivers left. Both backs will be on his left. He's going to roll in that direction, plants his foot, and fires to the sideline. Diving for it is Manley, but it's incomplete. Jaden Manley tried to make the catch right near the first down marker as he went sliding across the turf here at Ohio Stadium, but it's incomplete, and Steubenville will get it back with 9:41 to play, down by 7.
Scott, both these head coaches have proven this game to be very aggressive, going for on fourth down, fake punts, doing everything they can to try to win this ball game. Right there, Ruby rolling out to his left, has a receiver wide open, but there was some pressure in his face, and it was Robinson who was there, and sometimes it's difficult to make that throw and get a clean look at it.
And looking at the replay, Manley made the catch, but as he made the catch, he was, I think, laying on the out-of-bounds line on the far side of the field. And so the official over there, quick to call it incomplete. Steubenville takes over on downs, and the Big Red now need to go 66 yards for the game-tying touchdown. They need a touchdown and a PAT. They were in this spot last year in the fourth quarter. They scored to tie the game at 28, only then to see Hartley go down and kick what would be the game-winning field goal. From the shotgun, this is Davis. He's going to run it right, a designed keeper for the quarterback. Cuts it back in the middle of the field at the 35, and he's stopped at the 37. A pickup of 3 yards for Javon Davis, the junior quarterback, first-year starter, trying to lead Steubenville to the state championship.
And Scott, if you're Hartley and you're on defense and you're doing a self-scout of how we're done so far, you're pretty excited because one of the things they have done is they have not given up any big plays. This is a high-powered offense that they're going up against, averaging 37 points a game, and they haven't given up any huge plays. So kudos to the defense on the Hartley side.
Steubenville in the third quarter ran 12 plays, and they totaled just 33 yards. They'll need to do better than that here on second down. Davis to throw right side, and it's incomplete, but a flag is coming. Reeves was the intended target. Two defenders were there. Leaving his feet, diving for the football, was James Reese. And Reese may have been too early to make contact with the 6'5", 265-pound All-State wide receiver.
And Hartley a man-to-man there. And Steubenville runs a classic mesh route, or in other words, a rub route. And it looks like there's no way that there's going to be able to complete the pass, but there's a little contact early. And the back judge there, about 45 yards away, hurls that thing in and calls the penalty. And that was a close one right there.
It is pass interference against Reese and Hartley. They'll mark it off to the Hawks' 47-yard line. So Steubenville, with 8:52 left to play, trailing 21-14, has the ball across midfield. The Big Red wearing their traveling white jersey tops and pants with the red helmets, the block white S, and in the shotgun will be Agresta. The backup QB is in again, takes the snap, fakes a handoff on a reverse, and will keep it around the right end. Outside the hash marks towards the numbers, he's down to the 36. It'll be a gain of 11 for Johnny Agresta. Reno Sakach, his head coach, has been finding the right time to bring Agresta in and use his legs.
Scott, I'm with you on that. His timing has been good on when he's subbing in and out those quarterbacks, and not only the subbing, but also the play calling and the execution.
It'll be a three-receiver set here. Agresta stays in the game. Same play this time, though. Agresta right up the middle, and he will get back to the line of scrimmage, maybe a yard, stood up there. A couple of different Hawk defenders in on the tackle. At the bottom of the pile was Ethan Amaya, the nose guard, the junior who weighs 260 pounds. It's his job to be a run stopper, and he was on that play. Agresta sprints to the sideline. And here comes Javon Davis back in. Davis will get under center. Full house backfield behind him. They'll hand it to the tailback McGee. Running right, makes one man miss at the line of scrimmage. And he will extend the play all the way to the sideline where he is taken down inbounds at the 33. So a few hard yards there for Jalen McGee. But he's been the workhorse today in the Steubenville rushing attack. And they're going to need him to come up with a couple of big runs here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, McGee just went over 100 yards for the day, averaging 5.7 a carry. He has done a good job, and, you know, because of his success, you would think he would get the ball a little bit more, and especially in a situation like this.
It'll be third down and six. Steubenville, 48% on third downs throughout the course of the season. They picked up some big ones early in the season in some closer games, and here they are down by seven in enemy territory. Taking the shotgun snap, they're going to hand it to McGee. He's got room, has the first down outside the hashes on the right side, gets turned back in near the 20. He's taken down at the 19. A first down run for Jalen McGee. Steubenville, that is only their third down conversion in 10 tries today, but it is a big one as McGee gives them new life inside the red zone. The ball will be marked at the 19. I formation. A long count here for Davis with two receivers to the left. A three-man front for Hartley. And Davis will turn and hand it off. Running left side, this is McGee. Lowers his helmet, runs through a defender. He gets inside the 20 and then near the 15, runs right over a Hartley Hawk. And he will make his way down to the 11. Another big gainer. This one will be an 8-yard run. Jalen McGee trying to get his team into the end zone.
And Steubenville sticking with the hurry-up offense on that play right there, calling two plays, getting back under center, long count for Davis, doing a good job handing off to McGee. And McGee, once again, we saw this in the first half at times, running with authority as he comes up to the Hartley defender, delivers the blow, and falls forward.
McGee goes to the sideline, second down and a couple. This will be Agresta taking the snap and keeping it around the left end. First down, a flag flies. He'll get inside the five and be knocked off his feet at the two. It's going to be a hold, however, against the Big Red, and that will negate what would have been about a 10-yard run for Johnny Agresta with 6:11 left to go in the game. 21 Hartley, 14 Steubenville, a rematch of last year's state championship game here in Division 4. The Big Red, with one blemish on the season, a week number 6 loss to Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary. Hartley lost in weeks 1 and 4 to Toledo Central Catholic and St. Francis de Sales. Both coaches talked about how they've improved as the year has gone along, and here they are, separated by a touchdown in the final 6 minutes of the title game. Five receivers, empty backfield. Agresta now has McGee back in the game, but he's lined up as a wideout on the right. And actually, this is Davis back in to take the snap. Looking at a three-man front for Hartley with extras in coverage. He's looking left. He's going to throw it. Turnaround, making the catch. Reeves has it, gets past the defender. Down the left sideline, he dives to the pylon. And he's in for the score. Charles Reeves, the 6'5" wideout, was able to make one man miss. He got to about the 3-yard line. He lunged for the pylon and just does get the football across the goal line. It's now 21-20. Steubenville is an extra point away from tying it with 5:41 to play.
And one of the most athletic 6'5", 265-pound guys. You know, around, he gets runs a hitch route, shakes off a tackler up the field. He's got acceleration as well and found his way into the end zone.
So here comes Mark Smith to try and tie this game. Snap back, kick is away. He popped it up, and it is good. It was a bad snap to the outside shoulder of the holder. He was able to get it down, the holder was, but then Smith popped up the kick, and it just barely goes over the crossbar. It is, however, good, and it's a 21-21 tie. So just like a year ago, these teams trading punches with the state championship trophy hanging in the balance.
Scott, I almost asked you, would you go for two at that point?
Our producer, Aaron Cassidy, by the way, passed me a note thinking that they would go for two. He thought that Steubenville would roll the dice, but they've tied it with a kick, barely.
Well, instead of going for two, they went for the flop shot. They got the flop shot to go through and get the point.
21-21, we'll step away. It's the Division IV state championship game between Hartley and Steubenville. Let's pause for these messages from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. You're listening to the OHSAA Radio Network, brought to you by Chocolate Milk.
You may think seatbelt laws are no big deal. Well, you couldn't be more wrong. Cops are cracking down day and night, in the city, in the country, and all points in between. Make no mistake, if you don't buckle up, you will get caught, and you will get a ticket. Even if you've gotten away with not buckling in the past, things are about to change. Cops are serious about seatbelt safety, so don't kid yourself. Buckle up every time, or get a ticket. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
You're listening to the state football championships on the Ohio High School Athletic Association Radio Network.
Last year, Steubenville and Hartley were tied up in the fourth quarter, and the Hartley Hawks went on a 12-play drive that led to the game-winning field goal. A year later now, guess what? They're tied with Steubenville, this time 21-21, 5:41 to play. They're about to get the football again. Since their touchdown to make it 21-7 with 5:32 to play in the second quarter, Hartley has had a 3-play drive that went 4 yards and a punt. They had a 9-play 74-yard drive that ended with an interception but then resumed when the receiver stripped it from the defensive back. They then proceeded to lose 9 yards. And then a 6-play 14-yard drive a moment ago, a turnover on downs. Not a lot doing for the Hartley offense. The kick is away, and on the return, this will be Cameron Culver, who started right, cuts back to his left, and then gets run out of bounds at his own 32-yard line. So Hartley's offense takes over. 5:33 left to play in the game. We're knotted up at 21, Matt D'Arazio.
Yeah, and if you're Coach Birchfield, you've got to be excited about time on the clock situation. A situation, as you mentioned, they were in last year. You got your senior quarterback leading the charge right here, and there's a perfect amount of time to eat up. You know, as they do not throw the ball much, they run the ball down the field. You got 3 timeouts just in case you need them, and perfect situation to go down and get the back-to-back state championship.
Ruby will line him up and get under center. 2 backs off to the right shoulder of the quarterback. Takes the snap, spins, and hands it to Dixon up the middle. Stutter step move at the 34, and then hit and taken down near the 36. The first guy to get him was Cheyenne Petaway, but Dixon was able to move around him enough to pick up an extra yard or so. It'll be a gain of 4. 2nd and 6 now for the Hawks.
And the key is not to panic at this point. Just run exactly what you've been doing, although Coach Birchfield's been known to put a wrinkle in here or there just to keep the defense on their heels.
They faked a punt earlier deep in their own territory. Here's a toss sweep to the left side for Dixon on 2nd down, but we've got flags and we have whistles. It'll be a false start against Hartley, and that will back up the defending champions. Brad Birchfield this week told us, Matt, that his team is very even-keeled. He said whether we're playing at Ohio State or anywhere else, whether it's the state championship game or week one, our guys don't get too up. They're never too down. And this is where you hope that that mentality pays off.
Yeah, and I think it starts with him and starts at the top. And this is for his, you know, his program and many others. this is an all year round thing. You know, being from Columbus, you know, I follow them a little bit, and they're all over these guys and a positive reinforcement time and time again. And as you mentioned, you get in big situations like this, and because of the schedule they play and kind of dealing with this all year round, you kind of take a deep breath, relax, enjoy the moment, and go out there and execute.
Marquette Dixon has waited his turn to be the starting tailback for the Hartley Hawks. He's made the most of it this year. First team All-State as a senior. Tonight he has rushed for 164 yards and a TD. And he will be lined up in the backfield before this second down and 11. Hartley at its own 31. 4:56 left on the game clock. The officials resetting that game clock after the false start penalty. So now they're going to put exactly 5 minutes up. 5 minutes left to decide the Division IV title. Hartley looking for its fourth championship in school history, as is Steubenville. Two receivers right, and they're stacked one behind the other. One receiver to the left, and Ruby will be in the shotgun. Takes the snap, pressure coming, and he's going to dump it off on a screen to the left side. It's Onega at the 30, hit and wrestled out of bounds near the 35. Ruby had to get rid of it quickly, and at the end of this play, the ball was taken away, and Steubenville has a turnover. The Steubenville sideline was reacting as if something big had happened. We didn't, from here, see the ball come out, but one of the Steubenville players was showing it to the officials. And so, let's see on the replay here what happened. We've got a flag down against Hartley. There's going to be a penalty against the Hawks for sure. Hartley's offense still on the field. So, it is going to be Hartley ball, but it's a hold against the Hawks. The ball did not come free, as we do get a chance to look at the replay. Boy, the Steubenville sideline reacted big time over there on that penalty. So now you're looking at second down and 17 from the 25. 4:46 left to play. Again, Ruby in the shotgun, again being pressured. He escapes one would-be tackler, rolls out to the right, and now stops at the 20 and fires it downfield, but there's no receiver within 40 yards. And here comes a flag at the end of this play.
Looks like a legal man downfield as Ruby was running around trying to make a play. Lyman lost track of where they were, and the flag hits the turf.
So the officials will get together to talk about it. Ruby was on the run with extreme pressure coming from the Big Red. And we're going to have an ineligible man downfield against the Hawks. And so head coach Reno Sakoc for Steubenville comes out to talk to the official, and they're having a lengthy discussion over there, and now he says he's going to decline the penalty. But it should be a loss of down penalty. So it's declined, and it's going to be third down, third and 17 from the 25. 4:34 to go in a 21-21 tie. And the football will be placed over on the left hash mark near the Big Ten Conference logo at the 25-yard line here at Ohio Stadium. A light breeze blowing in from the south end zone. Ruby will be in the shotgun here with a receiver wide left, two of them to the right. Two backs to his right. He's going to hand it off on the counter. This is Dixon, but not a lot of running room. Started left, went to cut it back, and then he is going to be pulled down by Marlon Lawrence. The defensive tackle reaches out with his left arm, grabs the leg of Dixon, and pulls him to the carpet. No gain on the play. It's fourth and 17 as we come upon 4 minutes left to play in the game. Fourth down, and the Hawks, I would assume this time, are going to punt it.
Yeah, and you wonder how, you know, you talk about how impactful the special teams game can be right now. You wonder if Jake Ruby can get this thing off.
Ruby gets the snap and kicks it. This is his best punt of the day. Back at his own 42 to catch it is Gino Piero, and he's going to go right up the middle of the field to the Scarlet Blocko and be tackled at the 49. He will be across midfield into Hartley territory, a 33-yard kick for Ruby. That's the first one that's really been able to get up in the air and have some distance to it. But Steubenville still has a very short field with 3:48 to play in a tie ball game. It's the Division IV state title game. And now the Hartley defense needs a stop.
And Steubenville has battled this entire football game. Now they've put themselves in position with three timeouts, with 3:48 on the clock, just across midfield of the 49, and really with an offense and a running game that hasn't been stopped on that last drive.
From the shotgun will be the quarterback, and this is Agresta. So he's back in. Davis is on the sideline. Quarterback draw. He's going to keep it up the middle and then bounce it out to the right. From the 46, Agresta's then forced out of bounds near the 45. A gain of 4 yards for the Steubenville backup quarterback, who has seen some very important snaps here today, coming in mostly to run the football. He had a 2-yard TD run earlier, Matt, on a big play that got him within 7.
Yeah, excuse me, and you mentioned about fundamentals. Here's where Hartley's defensively needs to keep everything in front of him and then make those tackles.
Man in motion right to left. It's Alex Taylor. Javon Davis comes back in as the quarterback. Agresta over to the sideline to stand near some of the Steubenville assistant coaches. Davis calls it out, takes a shoulder-high snap. He's going to keep it around the left end, leaps over a defender who does clip his leg and turn him over at the 42. Davis is down there. A pickup of 3 yards for Javon Davis. And now it'll be third down and 3 for the Big Red from the Hawks' 42-yard line. We've got 3:21 to play.
Surprised we haven't seen McGee. You'd almost think that this would be his down right here. Once again, 122 yards on the day, one touchdown, averaging 6 a carry. This might be perfect time for Jalen McGee.
Timeout is called. Steubenville is going to burn a timeout to discuss this third down play with 3:12 remaining in the game. Steubenville has only been able to convert on 3 of 10 third downs in this game. They'll need one here in the worst way. Fuel up with chocolate milk. It's a delicious way to put something good in your body. Nutrient-rich chocolate milk is packed with carbs for energy, protein for muscle growth, electrolytes to rehydrate, and vitamins and minerals to build strong bones. And enjoying low-fat chocolate milk is an easy way to help you get the 3 servings of dairy you need every day. Find them on Facebook at Fuel Up with Chocolate Milk. 21-21 tie. Steubenville and Bishop Hartley for the Division IV championship, the third of 7 title games this weekend. And tonight, 8,636 are inside Ohio Stadium to see it.
And Scott, coming off the timeout, we've seen it quite a few times where Coach Sakoch has called 2 plays in the huddle. Is this a situation where you have 2 plays, if you don't get it and you just get a couple yards, you get back up on the ball and go right again? Because he has been so aggressive throughout this ball game.
Jalen McGee is out of the game, and so is Javon Davis. Agresta will be in an empty backfield to take the snap. It's a 3-receiver look. It's going to be a design quarterback keeper around the left end at the numbers. 40, breaks free of a man to the 35. He has the first down, and he is thrown down at the 31. It's an 11-yard run for Johnny Agresta. I think Hartley knew it was coming, but they still couldn't stop it.
Yeah, and that's when it hurts the most, when you got everything kind of buttoned up, and all of a sudden you got too many guys in front of you. You get blocked, and there's a huge seam there, and Agresta did a good job getting the first down.
First-team All-Ohio linebacker Cody Kirkbride stopped him, but not before an 11-yard gain. That's the 14th first down of the game for Steubenville. 10 have come on the ground. And probably another running play here, because Agresta is still in as the quarterback. Takes the snap, runs it right up the middle. Gets a block at the 30. Has a defender grab his left leg, but he's able to lunge forward to get to the 27. He was kind of pulling that defender with him momentarily. A pickup of close to 4 yards. 2:53 left to play in the game. 2nd and 6 up and coming.
Yeah, and right now we've been talking about Hartley and their ball security. That's one thing that Steubenville wants to do as they're fighting for those extra yards. Make sure you're holding on to that football. They're getting to that red zone in that area where they can find a way to get their first lead of the game and win this championship.
4 receivers set, and now it'll be a 5th because the running back, Petaway, leaves the backfield. There'll be a step off the line outside the right tackle, and in the shotgun is Javon Davis. Davis with a long count, and now timeout is called. The play clock was down to 1, and Reno Sakoch calls a Steubenville timeout. As a matter of fact, the back judge had thrown his flag in the air, ready to call delay of game. But the Steubenville coaches were able to get that timeout called in time. Steubenville has just one timeout remaining. Hartley has all three. They're faced with a second and six from the Hartley 27-yard line.
Scott, you had to call a timeout. You couldn't take the penalty, but you do look up at the, as you mentioned, you look up the scoreboard, and there's only one timeout left. And with just 2:17 left, could be a factor as they're not getting huge plays. They're just getting chunks here and there, and it's been all on the ground. And that's a way to run that clock out, and I don't want to call it too early, but are we sniffing overtime?
Some of these Steubenville fans on the far side have signs that say, hashtag redemption. Of course, they're the Big Red, and they're looking for redemption against the team that beat them here a year ago. Right now, they are in Hartley territory in a 21-21 tie, and they are with 2:19 left to play, lining up for this second down and six. A receiver wide in each direction. Reeves off to the left. The lone running back is McGee. They'll fake the handoff, rolling right, looking as Davis. He's going to throw deep down the right side, and it's broken up. Inside the five-yard line, was looking for Shion Petaway. There were two defenders on coverage, and once again, the guy that was there was Jaden Manley, who has had such a big game on both sides of the football.
Yeah, one-man route right there. Petaway runs a deep corner route. As you mentioned, Manley's got the man-to-man, but playing center field is Culver, and Culver can cover a lot of ground from that free safety position. And Davis forced that thing in there. Actually, was pretty lucky that thing didn't get picked off.
In case you're wondering, Steubenville's kicker, Mark Smith, 4 of 5 on the year, a long of 36. They'll need to get a little bit closer. It looks like for his range, the handoff will go to Petaway. This is Jamal Petaway back in the game. As we said, he was scheduled to start originally, but with injuries, he was coming off the bench instead tonight and gets a handoff around the left end and gets to the 24. So it's going to set up a 4th and 3. On the stop was Ethan Amaya, the nose guard for Hartley. The offense is still on the field for Steubenville. 4th and 3, 1:41 left to play in the state title game. The ball at the 24-yard line. Davis is still the quarterback. Agresta, who has been coming in relief, if you will, to run the football, standing and waiting on the sideline in case his name is called. And now, Steubenville is going to call its last timeout. They will burn their 3rd and final timeout with 92 seconds remaining. 4th and 3 from the 24, and Reno Sakosh wants to make sure they've got it right.
Yeah, and for me, there's two options. You're either running the ball with McGee, or you're throwing to Charles Reeves. And I think with Charles Reeves and that big body that he has, he's got the man-to-man coverage on the outside. Throw it up, let him box out, let him make the big catch, and who knows, maybe able to break another tackle and get back to the end zone.
Mark Smith, who is the kicker for Steubenville, standing over on the far side. The ball at the 24. So from here, he'd be looking at least a 40-yarder. His long is 36, and now Smith is going to make his way out onto the field. In the huddle, the Steubenville coaches changed their minds. So Smith, who's 4 of 5 on field goals this year, will kick what looks like a 41-yarder. From the left hash mark, he's a right-footed kicker. Out of the hold of Gino Piero. The long snapper is Johnny Agresta. Here's the snap, the hold, the kick is going to be popped up and caught at the 20-yard line by one of the Hawks. This is Cody Kirkbride going down the far sideline. He's into Steubenville territory to the 30 and tackled near the numbers at the 23. Smith got too far underneath it, popped up a kick that only traveled about 15 yards, and Kirkbride caught it like a punt returner and took off down the sideline. The All-State linebacker with a 60-yard return on the field goal, and now Hartley has it with 1:18 to play.
And Scott, if I had to describe this game with one word, it would be bizarre, and I think that might be the understatement of the century. Right there, looks like a, you know, tried to overkick. It was the flop shot again, almost as if he wedged it right to Kirkbride. Kirkbride just fields it right in stride. And at one moment you think like that you got a chance to win the state championship, and it's not a block attempt. It's none of that. It's just almost like a little, like, only way to describe it was a 5-yard little flop shot that goes right to the linebacker, and he fields it perfectly.
Looking at the replay, it looked like the holder lifted the ball up a little bit and Smith got underneath it. And so now Hartley has it at the 23 of Steubenville. They're going to pitch it to Dixon, going around the right end. He's to the 15, and he's tackled at the 13. A 10-yard run for Marquette Dixon with 1:11 to play. The first-team All-Ohio tailback getting an opportunity now to try and lead his team to another state championship. He was able to shed a couple of tacklers near the 15 to get a couple of extra yards.
Scott, if it's me and I'm Coach Birchfield, and as confident as you could be in your kicking game, I would not want to leave it up to that. The way things have happened tonight and have been so bizarre, as we mentioned, I think you got to try to find a way to get in the end zone with your 3 timeouts left.
Ruby has 3 backs behind him in the I formation. They'll hand it to Dixon right up the middle, and he will fight to the 11, maybe to the 10. On 1st and 10, we'll pick up 3 yards. Steubenville is out of timeouts, so they're at the mercy of whatever the Hawks want to do here. 45 seconds to go. Clock rolling. 2nd and 7 from 10 yards away. The Bishop Hartley Hawks led 21-7. Steubenville came storming back to tie this game. And right now it looks like the Hawks might be setting up to try and kick the game winner. 2nd and 7 with 23 seconds to go. Hartley not in a hurry. They're going to toss it back to Dixon, who runs up the middle and gets down to the 9. He will be tackled by Jalen McGee, the linebacker, able to wrap up Dixon and bring him down. Brad Birchfield walking out towards the official near the 10-yard line and will call for a timeout with 2 seconds remaining. He lets the clock go all the way down to 2 and then calls timeout and asks for his field goal unit.
Scott, what are your thoughts on deja vu?
Last year, the game-winning field goal happened with just a little under 5 minutes to go, but similar situation. It was a 28-28 game, both teams going back and forth, and then the field goal by Hartley was the difference maker. It was Ben Hawk last year who was the kicker, and from 40 yards out, he put it right through the uprights. And now Mateo Agresti, the sophomore kicker for the Hawks here in 2016, will have a similar opportunity, but this will be on the final play. Just 2 seconds left.
And you know, one thing, if you're the kicker and you're Agresti, that you can think about is Steubenville has no more timeouts, so you don't have to worry about getting iced or an extra timeout that's coming out. You can relax. You can take a deep breath. You can go through exactly what you've done all year and try to put this game away.
This will be from the right hash mark. Jack Ballman is the holder, so it'll be a 26-yard try towards the south end zone, the opened end of the horseshoe. 2 seconds left in the Division IV state championship game. They're lined up and ready. Ballman starts to call it out. The holder waiting, and now we're going to get a timeout. No, a flag comes in from the linesman. It's going to be against Hartley. It is a false start against the Hawks. So now it's a 31-yard field goal attempt.
Scott, that's better than calling a timeout and icing the kicker. Now you get 5 yards and more of a mental block here to get in their head a little bit to go back 5 yards.
So Agresti, the sophomore with the lime green colored soccer cleats, lines up and he's ready. The right-footed kicker, Ballman, puts his right arm out to accept the snap. High snap, gets it down. Agresti kicks it away. It is up and it is good. It is good. A game-winning field goal for sophomore Mateo Agresti from 31 yards away, and that is how Hartley repeats as the Division IV state champions. A missed field goal from Steubenville's Mark Smith, and a 60-yard return from Cody Kirkbride set it up, and Mateo Agresti being surrounded by his teammates on the Ohio State field here in the horseshoe. They celebrate the 4th state championship in Bishop Hartley program history.
Scott, I can barely believe it, the kind of effort that both teams gave. And like I mentioned before, the ups and downs of this game, the things that happened, the way the ball bounced, the turnovers, the chip shots, everything that goes along with it. But Hartley found a way to go back-to-back. It's the second team so far in this state championships that has gone back-to-back. Actually, LaSalle goes back-to-back-to-back, but they find a way to do it again, and Hartley adds to their state titles.
So Agresti's game-winning field goal for the second year in a row lifts Hartley over Steubenville, this time 24-21 in front of more than 8,000 fans at Ohio Stadium. Stay with us. Post-game activities coming up. The trophy presentations are right around the corner. But first, let's pause for these messages from your local station. You're listening to the OHSAA Radio Network.
Do you have a child in college? Education First Credit Union offers a private student loan solution with your financial best interest in mind. Our private student loan features zero loan fees, low interest rates, the option to defer all payments while in school, no prepayment penalty, and the convenience of a line of credit. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Double-digit pay raises are history. Now money's a lot harder to get a hold of and even harder to hang on to. That's why State Farm agent Kevin Smith would like to offer you a free discount double check. He'll go through your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discount you deserve and aren't leaving any money on the table. So call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today, because being there to help you keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.